Scott with Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my show. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. We're out and about. We are broadcasting live for Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, part of the LIV Golf Tournament. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We appreciate you keeping the conversation going. Every day, 8 o'clock, we give you Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the live same-game parlays, the lightning bets. It's a great way to go through the football season. College, I get my college picks from a guy named Jonathan Hood. And the NFL picks, I'll get those either my own or from the Philly Godfather or whoever, but I do it right there on the PointsBet app. If you want to play the ponies like I do on the weekends, that would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Download it.
In 15 minutes, we'll get back to your phone calls on things that make you feel old. We gave our examples this morning, things that make you feel old, things you're picking up from your parents, some of the bad habits. 312-332-3776. We go back to Staten Lake and say good morning to Shay Norling. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, boys. Cap, you look a little cold. I'm watching you on Twitch right now. Is it chilly out there?
It looks cold.
Cold?
It is a little chilly out
there. I was just hanging with Greg Norman there, Sparky.
Okay,
that gets you a little hot and heavy?
Yeah, nothing to do with you looking cold.
That got me warmed up. Yeah, I've been a Greg Norman fan for 30 freaking years.
Okay, got nothing to do with you looking cold.
I do not look cold. Yeah. I'm in a flowery golf shirt and a white, like, lightweight jacket.
Stay puffed, Marshmallow Man.
Whatever. You guys are something else, man.
that's what Twitch says. It says that you look chilly. You just look chill. Right?
Well, I wouldn't know because I don't. But he does look chilly.
I don't look at that Twitch commentary. Never have, never will. Take that, Twitch. Twitch. But keep watching.
Okay, but you keep watching, but I don't care what you say.
No, I'm not saying I don't care.
Okay.
I'm just not going to engage. I was told by my boss, Danny Zetterman, a long time ago, you are an easily distracted person. I probably have ADD.
True.
So I need you to have...
You needed someone to tell you that you're an easily distracted person?
I needed someone to tell me I was fat. I didn't realize it. Okay. Soda got me straightened out. And Danny straightened me out and said, okay, if you want to be on Twitter just a little bit for news purposes, I'll deal with that. You're not getting on the Twitch chat and then the Facebook thing open and the this. No. Rock and roll. Let's go. But you do you.
Here's Shay Norling.
All right, boys, I want to start with the Bears. Tevin Jenkins passed the eye test on Sunday. He looked like the best member of the Bears offensive line in his opportunities. PFF agreed. He graded out as the second best offensive player in week one for the Bears behind Byron Pringle. However, Jenkins only played half the snaps.
Wait, hold on a second. Who did you say he graded out with was the second best?
Byron Pringle was the top graded offensive player for the Bears in week
pass.
One.
But it was excellent.
He didn't even score. Did he score? Yeah. EQ Brown had a touchdown. Who had the other?
He didn't score, but, I mean, there's more to PFF than just catching passes, too.
Oh,
there's blocking
stop.
And all that. Hey, listen, if you want to discredit
that's
blocking,
right.
then that's fine.
That's right. There's pass blocking opportunities. There's a lot of stuff that goes on downfield that Byron Pringle's getting involved
right,
in that goes beyond
overwhelming
just...
offensive performance. He must have been amazing.
Hey,
go
man,
ahead.
Hey, man, you know how that PFF works. It's more than just did you get in the end zone, did you score, how many catches you have. They break it down in granular detail. You know that.
Yeah.
And that's why some throw that out like with the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
You know,
like Joe Madden.
Right, that's what he used to say. All right, I'm sorry, Shay. Go ahead.
All right, so the point here is Tevin Jenkins graded out as the highest-rated member of the offensive line. He was the second-highest-rated player on the Bears' offense, but he only played half the snaps. He was rotating opportunities with Lucas Patrick. So my question, shot or no shot, the Bears will still try to trade Tevin Jenkins?
No shot.
It's a no shot now.
They've got a more abundant offensive line as it is, and... And the guy I trust on offensive line play is Olin Krutz. And he says, by far, he's the most talented member of their offensive line group. No, they're not trading him unless someone called him up and made him a stupid offer. And no one's going to do that. So, no, they're going to develop this kid. And good for him that he has responded from the challenges of 8 days away. He was not injured. They were having some issues. and it got worked out, and good for him.
I would say shot to that, and say, for instance, the Bears are bad, and someone just needs a body. You know how this works, Cap. Late in the season, when you just need someone, like, man, we're down an offensive lineman. And, you know, there's promise in this young kid. We can turn him around. He could fill a bill for us late in the season. I'm sure the Bears would acquiesce. They also would probably let him go.
No way. No chance. Acquiesce, let him go. There's no chance. Mm-hmm. This kid, unless he has a regression in his relationship with Chris Morgan, the O-line coach, mm-hmm. and the coaching staff and the GM, he's a 22-year-old, really talented prospect who has gravitated inside and made the move from tackle to guard and has played very, very good football. If he's healthy, I ain't moving that kid. Unless you want to call me up and give me a first-round pick for him, which no one's going to do. I'm hanging on to Tevin Jenkins.
Shay.
All right, I want to talk about the Bears again. I want to talk about Monday night, though. Denver head coach Nathaniel Hackett spoke yesterday after the Broncos' baffling Monday night loss to Seattle and his decision to go for the second longest field goal in NFL history rather than try for a first down on 4th and 5. Here's what he had to say.
You know, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. We were 3rd and 15, I think, 3rd and 13. I'm more upset about that play before it, to lose yards, to be able to, you know, getting that there would have definitely been better to be able to call that same play and get extra yards. But he dumps it out to Javonte. Javonte makes a move, goes a lot farther than I think we had anticipated. We were expecting to go for it on 4th down. And then you hit the mark. You know, the mark that we had all set before we started. We said 46 yards. 46-yard line was where we wanted to be, and we got there. So we had to make the decision if we wanted to give it to Brandon, and we did. And it didn't work. It sucks, but hey, that's part of it.
Shot or no shot, the most refreshing aspect of week one is that the Bears aren't the coaching laughingstock of the league.
Well, that is a shot. However, the key to that particular cut we just heard, Cap, he says the mark was 46. Really? Really? You don't want anything more than that. The key's got to be 46. Now, you can stand on your laurels and say, you know what, I'm going to dig in. This is exactly what I want to do. It was our decision, didn't work out. The key to that was saying the 46 was the mark. That's what you're looking at?
Okay.
No shot.
46 is a 63-yard field goal, correct?
Right. You could do better than that.
46 though. Yards, 10 because the goalposts are at the back end of the end zone.
Yeah.
It's 56, and you take it back 7 to 8 yards. Well, he got 64. So I don't know what he's talking about. A, nice to know that Matt Nagy's now the coach of the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's shocked that we're not the laughing stock and that actually our coaches are being praised. That, and I heard George McCaskey the other day before the game say, look, wins and losses, yes, that's how we're all graded, but I know where we're at as we rebuild this thing. I want to see what the coaches are preaching show up on the field, even if we don't win every game. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that. Hits principle, peanut punch, flying around to the ball, picking up loose balls, playing hard. We saw all of that. Yes, it's a freaking shot that our team is actually emulating what Coach Eberflus and his staff want.
That's strike one on your first game as a head coach. That's strike one. Your first game, you made an egregious mistake.
You're talking about Coach Nagy for Denver?
Yes.
Yeah.
Your first job is to be able to put your team in a position to win. Trust the Hall of Fame quarterback over something that we hardly ever seen before. 64-yard field goal? Seriously, in that spot?
And he should have made it. He had the distance.
Yeah, but
by the way, Cap, Brandon McManus, who kicked that field goal, for his career at that point, was 0-for-5 on field goals of 62 or more yards.
Correct.
Because it's almost damn near impossible.
He's
that's
got a
why.
Big leg, man.
Cap, it's the wrong call. It's the wrong call, period. You put it in Russell Wilson's hands.
Well, you gave up a king's ransom for him. You paid him.
That's not what you want to say.
Insane money. Yeah, take a seat.
Cap, that's not the phrase you want to use.
Right.
It was F something. An F load. I think that's what was coming.
Yeah.
You made a right turn.
I did.
You saw our careers before our very eyes right
there. I did.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about a police video that came out. If you remember a few months ago, Montrezl Harrell was caught with 3 pounds of marijuana in his car. And the cops, during this police video, were asking Harrell NBA questions while they were citing him for 3 pounds of weed. Listen to this.
Sharp morning?
Yep.
Is it like, just like a practice squad, or what are you doing?
No, I asked him.
They really?
Yeah.
How's Melo? Is he?
He's a cool person.
Yeah,
regular kid. I mean, at the end of the day, people still got to understand he's a crime. So, I mean, they see, like, the money he makes, and it's like...
Before anybody does anything stupid, we are not the weed police.
Yeah.
All right? It's legal in most states now. The worst case scenario, unless y'all run or something.
We're just he's like, got to conceal.
We'll write you a ticket. But it don't work in Kentucky.
Most unlike player.
The most unlike player might be Pat. Well, that's what he was saying. Pat Beverly, everybody ain't saying what's your teammate.
Really might be Pat.
I just said might be Pat.
And he embraces that. Like he doesn't care. He likes that. Yeah, that's,
he's like Lance Stevenson. Who's the best big guy you ever had played in?
Oh, my God.
Jokic.
Trouble.
Oh, yeah?
Jokic. Real. To be that size, all the passing that he's doing,
yeah.
All that is it.
Before anybody does anything stupid, we are not the weed police.
How about that,
wow.
Woody? How's LaMelo? Everybody hates Pat Beverly. That's what they're talking about during a citation.
Oh, my
God. And then we are not the weed police. My question, shot or no shot, this is actually a great interrogation tactic.
It is. That is a shot. What do our officers that we know say? Is that de-escalating the situation?
Correct.
Is that the term?
De-escalate the situation. And I believe they just reduced all the charges against. He had, what, 3 pounds, you said, Shay? And he said it was all for personal consumption. The only person I know that could smoke 3 pounds of weed is sitting right across from me, JR. So he said, it's personal. Really? Really? That's a lot of weed, man. Let me just tell you. But they downgraded everything to a misdemeanor.
We are not the weed police, just so you know. That's what he wanted everyone to know.
That's it.
And that is Shot or No Shot, a Wednesday edition right here on ESPN 1000. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Something that that you picked up from your parents that make you feel old, the things that you picked up from them, now you're doing as an adult. We'll take your phone calls on that. The Shark is scheduled to be with us this hour as well. Greg Norman, as we broadcast live from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, part of Live Golf, right here on ESPN 1000. Hey, my wife and I are looking for a new home with so many things to consider. We turn to someone who will go the extra mile, Lenny File at Hearthside Realtors, using old-school hands-on treatment with new-school technology skills. Lenny File customizes the home buying process. Check out the latest listings at LennyFile.com. Hearthside Realtors, a family-owned business with 30 years of experience, is licensed in Illinois and Indiana. For one of the biggest decisions in your lifetime, trust Lenny File at Hearthside Realtors. Lenny File, FEIL.com. Tyler.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you, broadcasting live from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove. What a great time.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. What a great time we're having right here. I'm sorry?
I said that's a fine.
No, I'm fine. Powering through. Fine, JR?
You're doing fine, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. We're having a great time, are we not?
We are.
Focus now. Lock in.
Locked in, ready to go. I'm excited to talk to the Shark, Greg Norman. So he'll be with us at about 8:45.
Indeed. And so we are also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Got to check the phone lines here because we were talking about feeling old, right? I mean, things that you've done in the past that make you feel old, things that you pick up. Listen, at the time when we're young, we're looking at it and we're saying, oh, my God, look at our parents. They're just doing these things. And now we're picking up those same bad habits. We were talking earlier during the break about the bags, like putting bags in bags and bags.
Yeah, well, last night my wife brought the groceries home from Jewel, and I helped unpack them when I got home, and then I took all the white plastic bags, which, by the way, I was not aware. I went to the Jewels in the City by TV to get some salad mix, you know, the bag of salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought the shredded, I got the bags. And she said, how many bags did you use, sir, at the checkout? I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, you have to pay for those. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, man.
Those bags cost what, 1/100th of a cent to make? No, we're charging you whatever, few cents per bag. So I'm jamming everything in. Yeah, but I put all the bags that Mindy had, 8 bags, all of them into one, 7 into one. And that way, when I take the dogs out for a walk, I got a poop bag. Take that.
That's right. And by the way, that's when those things come in handy. We have a lot of bags, especially in my trunk, because I don't want to pay as a cent, 5 cents for a bag.
Right.
That's crazy in the city.
I also have, now you know, I don't know how I got really old. I went to a store, the Aloe Yoga store, to buy some shorts.
Mm-hmm.
It's great stuff. They give you a, like, even Lululemon, like a bag that it's not disposable. Like you, it's actually a good bag. And I keep it in my car. So if I go to the farmer's market, I've got a bag with me at all times. Take that.
You got to have that, though.
Yes.
And again, it's just about being prepared. You're not old if you're prepared. But you know, the thing is, at the time when we are younger, we're thinking, this is an old man thing to do. Why are they doing it? But some of those old habits, some of the things they did, we use today. And they come in handy. You know what? Those people were smart, the old people. Grandparents, parents. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. All right, Tyler, what's our next call? I know that we've got some new calls on the screen from the previous segment, so who's next?
Let's go to Tony in Hammond.
All right, Tony. I feel like I'm on Frasier.
Yeah.
what's your thoughts, Tony?
Anthony, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on? By the way, Cav, they've been doing that bag tax for a while now, man. Just to let you know there. But anyways, let me tell you guys this. Not something my parents do, but something my daughter told me yesterday. So we're at our softball game. We're on the way to a softball game. And she goes, Dad, what are you doing? You know, I'm just chilling in the car right now. And at this time, she goes, you on the Facebook app? That's a trash app. I was like, trash app? You know, I'm not thinking to her Facebook is an app. I'm over here like, man, I had Facebook when it wasn't an app. It was a website that we had to go to and we looked at it with our computers.
Mm-hmm.
She's 12 years old. I'm 32 years old. She's 12 years old, and she knows Facebook as an app like TikTok.
Yeah.
Right? She said, I need to ditch the app, the Facebook app, and transfer to TikTok University. I was like, TikTok University? I was like, does my Facebook University credit transfer? She said, no. And I was like, wow, this just blew my mind. She will forever know Facebook just as an app and not as a website. And that just blew my mind.
Yeah. And
yeah,
Okay, does your daughter, she's 12, does your daughter watch TV on her phone or iPad as opposed to the 80-inch flat screen you've got on the wall?
How'd you know I had 80-inch? You're right. But no, she does not use that. She uses her phone.
Yes.
She uses her phone and her tablet. She has her iPad and she has her iPhone. And we've got, here's a plug, YouTube TV right there. And we have that. And, yeah, she's never watched TV on the actual TV.
Right.
Yeah.
I walked in, and Brett is sitting on the couch watching something on his phone. And I said, hey, bud, what are you watching? I'm watching Cubs highlights from 2016. I'm like, Cubs highlights from 2016?
Right.
They're playing right now. We're not any good, Dad. I want to watch this. I'm like, well, we can get YouTube on the big screen. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I have a, you know, movie theater set up and, you know, in the house and everything like that. I'm ready to watch, you know, my favorite movies and stuff like that. She's on her little or her iPhone watching movies when she has a movie theater atmosphere right there in her house.
Nope.
And it just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy,
man. Cobra Kai without me. I was pretty upset about that.
Cobra Kai, great show.
Tony, we appreciate telephone calls. We go to Curtis in Farmington listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Cap and Hoodie.
Pop, 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 pop.
What's up? Really quickly, my parents and grandparents were in the South. They grew up in the South. So if we were out of line or about to get disciplined, they will always say, keep on, Hill. And they have to have that parents' face on them. So that's what I did to my son twice, and he got some common sense after that. So you have to have the right parenting face and say, keep going, Hill. And that's what really straightens them out. So that's what I do now. So but you have to have the right parenting face to say, keep going, Hill.
That's it.
I love it.
Love it.
Thanks so much.
Curtis, thanks so much for the phone call. All right, coming up next, Cap, we're talking about LIV. Boy, you talk about stepping up the stakes. You know, one thing we love about in sports is stakes. LIV Golf has that. We'll explain that coming up next. We're here at Rich Harvest Farms, Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Oh, the ones who get it done, John. Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Cap, J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app as we broadcast live from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove. Still to come on the program, we're going to hear from the Shark, Greg Norman. I know you got a chance to talk to him already before he comes on our program.
Yeah, my guy. I've been a fan of that guy for 30-plus years, and I was talking to him. He's in amazing shape. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like he could go to the tee and let's go. But he said, no, no, I'm not playing. I got a different role in my life now.
Yes. I mean, he's proven everything. There's a reason why, Cap, that he's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He's proven it all. He's done it all, so he doesn't have to go out there and prove it again. But again, we're talking about one of the icons of the sport. It's amazing that he's going to be able to spend time with us and here on the program.
Nicest guy in the world.
So did you read recently that LIV Golf is going to have a big-time tournament? I think $50 million, something like that, a big tournament they're going to have? Where there's stakes. The one thing about sports, Cap, is like, okay, I'm watching. What am I watching for? You're watching because you want to see a team win a championship. Mm-hmm. You want, and even the NBA is trying to determine whether or not they're going to have like an in-season tournament for stakes, for money. And for me as an NBA fan, you don't necessarily have to have a tournament within the regular season. Look, if you tune out of the NBA after the All-Star breakaway for the playoffs, that's fine. But the NBA wants to have some juice in the game. Like, here's a tournament for low-end teams, they'll be able to win a certain amount of money, increase their chance to get to the playoffs, that kind of thing. But for LIV Golf, what I saw is, like, I think $50 million are on the line for a tournament that they're going to have. Big-time stakes. That's the reason why you tune in.
Big time. And, you know, look, I know there are people that are, you know, at one end of the spectrum or the other on LIV Golf. You realize that they're giving away money to support the Kids Golf Foundation of Illinois. They're going to do a clinic for individuals with special needs with Sergio and Charles Howell and Henrik Stenson, Greg Norman, who we're going to be with here in a minute, and several of the key players will host a clinic for local youths today. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really trying hard to give back. And then Jason Derulo Saturday night, St. Lucia on Friday. They're going to have concerts right out here at Rich Harvest Farms. Tickets are just a single-day grounds pass is $49, and that includes the concert. So you come out here on Saturday and go, all right, I'm going to watch some big-time golfers. I mean, some of the best in the world, Koepka and, you know, Mickelson and DeChambeau and Sergio, all these guys, DJ. And then on top of you see Jason Derulo, pretty good day of entertainment.
It is. And so, of course, LIV's going to – they wouldn't do it any other way because they are separating themselves from everyone else and saying, hey, it's golf. But there's going to be golf with flair.
Correct.
Some pop and circumstance.
Correct.
And so it's, I guess when you're LIV Golf, you have to look at it and say, hey, man, the premise is golf, right? That's the basis. But what can we do different? Different than, better than, less than.
Correct.
And so you got to figure that out from a marketing standpoint. What can we do to make golf a little bit more exciting? And this is what they've done. Now, as you and I have talked about, the thing that's missing with LIV is to get that national TV contract.
Correct.
And that's got to be next for them.
They just went after Apple TV, and Apple said, nah, we're going to pass.
Yeah.
At this point, we're going to pass. And I would love to hear Greg's take on that. You know, I want to ask Greg, the first time his phone rang and it was someone from LIV saying, okay, I want to talk to you about being basically the face of our tour here.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? Like, what was his initial reaction
right
before he got the details and the financials and everything? You're going to do what? Take on the PGA? And all of a sudden now you've got, you through Greg and obviously the money that's behind the tour, there's some huge names that have jumped over here. The Koepkas and the Mickelsons and, as I said, DeChambeau and Sergio and Cameron Smith. There's a lot of huge names out here.
It is a lot of huge names out here, but you can understand why that they'd be looking into being part of this because, yes, a lot of money is doled out. There's no doubt. Generational money, difference-making money, mm-hmm. but just the opportunity to do something new. Like, yes, I'm a golfer, and I know I'm great, but what else can I do, right? So be part of LIV. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's something that I think they look at as an opportunity to say, hey, look at the resume. It's already made, but look what I'm doing now. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. John LaGrange on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It. Hey, I'm a golfer. I grew up playing golf. Grew up in Arizona from 6 years old on. This money doesn't matter. A $50 million tournament doesn't matter. I don't care what you say. Generational wealth, these guys already have it. If there is no cut in a tournament, then there's no reason to even play. It is an exhibition. It's always been an exhibition. And every tournament that LIV has will always be an exhibition, in my eyes as a true sort of PGA fan. Just my point of view.
But when you have, let me ask you a question, though. When you have guys of this talent level, it's not like they've got one hood ornament and there's, we'll pick a name, Brooks Koepka, multi-time major winner, and every other guy you've never heard of, I get it. It's like all these wannabes against the you got a dozen of the greatest players in the sport. So maybe today it feels more exhibition-y, but what if they keep attracting bigger and bigger stars and all the best come here? There could be a day where their prizes and their purses are so huge that it becomes the preeminent tour.
Sure, and that for guys like me, that is something that I do fear. I do fear that it, you are just going to be pulling the talent away and you have the superstars that are going. But the superstars are made for battling off and constantly knocking down everyone that chases them at their feet. If you have one superstar over another superstar, it will become mundane, in my opinion. The idea of having a Korn Ferry where these guys have to struggle and make the tour, and then they have to climb the ranks to make the tour up, that is something as a true golf fan I appreciate. I'm a guy who was gonna go down to Olympia Fields to watch the Illini tournament coming up this weekend because I want to see these college players coming up through the
right.
rank.
Well,
so
let's,
guys like me, that's something that I appreciate.
Let's address this,
and they'll always be.
Okay. Let's address this, and we appreciate the phone call. We're against the break. All I'm telling you is that when you have a head-to-head knockoff playoff, $50 million purse, I think that people will have eyeballs on it. $50 million purse, I think people will be definitely watching that because, again, it's an in-season tournament. You don't see that in the PGA. It's something unique and different. I think people will be watching in late October for this.
No question about it.
A special guest coming up, the Shark, Greg Norman, is lurking. He's going to be with us here as we broadcast live from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, along with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
New premieres like Disney Pinocchio, Marvel's Thor, Love and Thunder, Pixar's Cars on the Road, Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, A Jedi Return, and many, many more. Don't miss other favorites like Growing Up in Frozen 1 and 2 sing-alongs, new episode specials dropping like She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Dancing with the Stars, the pros' most memorable dances. Nothing bigger, nothing better, nothing beats Disney Plus. All these and now more. Stream it.
Miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Mm-hmm.
Live from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, it's Live Golf. We are here along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We have a Hall of Famer between us right now, Cap. The Shark is here representing Live
Golf.
My
guy.
It is Greg Norman. He's with us here on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Greg, thanks so much for stopping by.
Yeah, it's great to be here, guys, and it's nice to have a little bit of fall in the air, quite honestly. A little chilly this morning outside of South Florida, but looking forward to catching up with you guys.
So the first time your phone rang and someone said, hey, I'm calling from Live,
mm-hmm.
and we would like to talk to you, what was your initial reaction?
Drop the mic. I'm ready. Simple as that. It was. I knew there was a lot of this conversation going on in the background with other entities. PGL has been mentioned publicly. So I was there, but I wasn't in the mix of all the discussions. And knowing what I went through in 1993, 94 with the World Tour and understanding the virgin space that was sitting there within the game of golf that needed to be exploited, new innovation, evolution in the game of golf. When they came and talked to me, it took me about 3 months, quite honestly, to run maybe 4 months to run through the whole analytics and understanding the business model, stress testing it, and seeing the validity to the whole thing. And what really convinced me was the institutions behind it. So the best of the best, from the marketing, the economists behind it, the legal behind it. And you couldn't really break the model. So I said to myself, look, I'm in. I'm a big believer. I've been fighting for 40 years for players' rights, their independent rights as independent contractors to be able to go and choose where they want to play. So I wanted to add new value to the game. New value for the fans, new value for the players, new value for broadcasting, right across the board. And so for me to say yes, I had to give up a lot of other stuff because I had my other company.
Right.
Greg Norman Company was in full cry, and so I had to pivot. So I had to make some adjustments. It took me about 2 months to put those in place. And once I locked in, I said to everybody, I said, if I'm coming on board, I'm 100% on board.
I'm all in.
I'm all in. I can't do two things. So I focused 100% on Live Golf Investments because I knew the value that was in there, the necessary value of what we could bring to the game of golf. And here we are, 12 rounds of golf into it, and for an upstart and a beta season, we've really done a phenomenal job of the product speaking to the public, the product being embraced by the players, the product being embraced by the fans. So, you know, I'm extremely proud of my team and what we've done and where we've positioned ourselves.
Greg, I want to ask you about the state of golf. What did you think of the state of golf before Liv came aboard? Because now, as Cap and I were talking about the pop and circumstance, it feels different, feels fresh. What did you think of the sport before Liv came aboard?
Yeah, that's a great question, John, because I think from my perspective, I look at it through quite a few lenses. As a player who played the game of golf for 40 years, we were doing the same thing. It was Groundhog Day. Every day was the same day, you know, no matter what tour you played on, right? So it was staid. And you look at the demographics of the fan base for the PGA Tour is 64-plus years old. How do we reach down to the younger generation in this generation where we are today with the millennials and snackable content and all that? How do we reach down in the sport of golf? And how do we unlock that? So, you know, from my point of view, where I was as a player to where we are today for the players within Liv and for the fans, it's like night and day. And it really tells you, it's resonating very loudly about the fact that, you know, it was just too many things were not looked at. Since Liv's come on board, the PGA Tour stepped up. They would never have done that without competition.
No doubt.
Competition's the best thing in any sport, you know, as a coach, anything,
sure.
Right? You want to be able to compete. On the radio show, you guys compete with other radio shows to be the best of what you can be. So you got to get the best talent on board. So it's no different what we've done with Liv and golf. And we've created this new atmosphere, this new energy, and the PGA Tour had to react. So that tells me that Liv is the leader. Liv is the future of golf. And as long as we keep maintaining our position and keep building and building and building, the tour is going to have to keep reacting, reacting, and reacting. Now, we want to work within the ecosystem. We don't want to fight within the ecosystem. We build our business model from the ground up to work in every facet of every ecosystem, whether it's Europe, whether it's America, whether it's Australia, Japan, right? We want our independent players to play live and go play wherever else they want to go play. Happy days. That's what being an independent contractor is all about, right? So we look at that, where the PGA Tour has done the opposite. They've gone out and they've given these elevated events. You have to play 20 of them. So all of a sudden now the guys are going from 15 to 20. They're going, oh my gosh, that's a little bit more than what they want to do. To stay on the tour. So you've kind of bifurcated the tour in some way. So if you're a sponsor of an elevated event, okay, great. We've got a strength of fields. It's going to be okay, not great, because the live players are not there. But then you have the non-elevated events. They're going, what happened to us? What happened to our commitment to the game of golf and the PGA Tour for the last years, decades, or whatever it is? So we've really, the competition that LIV bought is, you know, the players should be thanking LIV. The tour players should be thanking LIV, right across from the PIP all the way down to prize money. So I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to get to this new place in the world. Within golf and opening up the barriers, even though there's a lot of headwinds for us and a lot of obstacles put on our path, we've opened the door up. We're showing the world a whole new competitive edge, and we've been welcomed with open arms, quite honestly, across the board outside of Jacksonville.
Okay, so you won 89 events in your career. Got a couple open championships. I still feel for you with the whole Masters, as you're my guy. I totally showed you. I got a shark on my freaking arm.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Apple says, yeah, we're going to pass, we're not going to do the TV right now, we're not sure about associating, how do you convince people like that, hey, there's a lot of great players here, it's an awesome product, you should get on board? Like Apple says, we don't want to do it.
Well, yeah, that's I can't comment on Apple, quite honestly, but all I can tell you, the interest coming across our plate right now is enormous. We're talking to four different networks and live conversations where offers are being put on the table because they see the value of our product. They can see what we're delivering in a 4.5-hour window. Not if you saw what happened on September the 4th in Boston, that last hour of television, that is 101% what LIV is all about, that action pack. Everything was happening. Four or five players looked at winning the individual. A whole bunch of teams looked at winning the teams. There was just fluctuations and strokes, and it was like within seconds of each other, not a laborious kind of, okay, let's wait and see. The next group's passing through 13 and one group's on 15, so we got to wait another 45 minutes to see what happens. All that stuff. It was just so action-packed, and since that moment, guys, is when there's been an elevated interest from networks to come and speak to us.
Greg Norman with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. As we're here at the LIV Golf Tournament, Rich Harvest Farms here in Sugar Grove. You swam with actual sharks. You've had so many experiences, Greg. Give us one of your most exhilarating, most exciting experiences. And do you have an experience that you want to have before you're done?
One of my most exhilarating experiences in life?
Yeah.
With sharks?
Yes.
I had a very interesting dive one time with my two kids. My daughter's a master diver. My son's a great diver. So we do these kind of semi-extreme Norman things. And we're very, very confident under the water. But there was this one situation. We're diving in the Bahamas, and we're coming up, from a wall dive. And we had to come back up tank to tank. We had to be back to back because we were being circled by, about four or five tiger sharks all the way up. There was an oceanic white tipper involved there, and there was a couple of bull sharks. So there was a lot of interest in humanity under the water. And we were coming up from about, 120, 130 feet. So we had to go through a decompression stop, and you had to be at a certain level a certain amount of time. And it's those at 15 feet. When you have sharks around you, when their pectoral fins are down, not out, in a calm fashion, I'm worried more about my kids than anything else. And I was the last one to get in, and I have a photograph of me getting in the boat, pushing the shark off. Mm-hmm. My kids were on board. I was fine. They were good. And so that was kind of like, one of those moments in life that I thought was pretty exhilarating. My second most favorite dive I've ever done was I went with my daughter to Truck Lagoon, which is America's payback for Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we did some phenomenal extreme diving deep into the bowels of warships and seeing skulls wedged between stringers and ships and stuff like that, you know, over 200 feet. And you do a decompression stop on a T-bar 15 feet for, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and you just strap yourself in and you fall asleep, right? So those are the type of things that, you know, you really have to, you know, have your wits around you. But to be able to do it with your daughter or your son is one of those moments in life that, you know, you'll probably never do it again, you know, but at the same time. And then jumping in out of an aircraft is a pretty cool feeling too.
So. I did want to ask you this. How did the... Look, I know the whole shark thing, it's big in Austria, but how did it become your persona? Because I tried to parrot it.
Yeah, well, look at your shark logo, right? When your bicep's not flexed, it looks like a minnow. When you flex that bicep, it looks like a great white.
Exactly.
I like that, man. I like that. So anyway, 1981, I was leading the U.S. Masters after two rounds, and nobody knew who I was, and I had long blonde hair, and so I go to the media room, and they ask me, what do you do? I said, well, I grew up on the Great Barrier Reef. I dive with sharks. I'm a pretty aggressive player on the golf course, and I wake up in the morning, Atlanta Constitution, Great White Shark leads U.S. Masters. And that's how it all started.
That's unbelievable.
That's exactly how it started in April 81. So from there it evolved. I got involved with Reebok. I was an endorsed player with Reebok.
Yep.
Paul Fireman, who owned Reebok at the time, wanted to create the Greg Norman Collection clothing line. And we needed to have a logo, so the birth of the shark logo came in effect around about 87, 88.
A lot of my money's in your pocket right there. Well,
I like the revenue. Keep buying it.
That's it. You got it. 100%.
So.
Well, Greg, we're glad you stopped by the table. Again, shark.com, by the way, you got on that early. Shark.com. All of your stuff is right there.
Oh, yeah, it's all right there. Look, that's the other side of business, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beautiful part of what I understand about growing a brand. And representing a brand, and that is some value. I actually had dinner with the Australian team last night here, talking to them about the future outlook about their franchise. And how do you build a franchise? How do you build value in that franchise? It doesn't happen overnight. How do you own a market? How do you own local, regional parts of the world? And I'm just so enjoying talking about this to these young kids and helping them understand or see a different pathway. I'm not going to be there. The person telling them what to do. I just want to be a person giving them a little bit of guidance here and there. And that's the value of what I've had through Greg Norman Collection, through Greg Norman Company, through Greg Norman Golf Course Design, all those things that we've actually expanded out over, you know, multiple period of time, where it's life in perpetuity for the brand now, is very exhilarating, but it's also very beneficial to live, because one of the reasons I truly believe they asked me to come on board is because of what I did as a player.
Yep.
Because of what I did with a brand, building a brand.
And your image.
Image maybe, yeah. And I'm not afraid, right? I mean, I truly believe in the process of live. I truly believe in the betterment for the game of golf across all sectors, men, women, college, everything. We're reaching, giving new pathways. The investment in the Asian tour with
charity,
all that stuff. Our CSR program, Live to Give, is phenomenal. And it just keeps building out, building out, building out. So all those components I've had touched in many aspects for 40-plus years of my life. And I'm just proud to be able to be at the helm now.
You're the man.
Hey, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
The Shark, Greg Norman, with us here at Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove. The White Sox will be playing the Rockies. What happens with the White Sox for the foreseeable future for the rest of the regular season? We'll talk about it in 2 minutes right here on Cap and J Hood.